The nature of this series that we're talking about is our identity in Christ. The term your identity in Christ does not appear in Scripture anywhere. There's nowhere that says your identity in Christ is blah, blank, 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 blank. But there are multiple places in Scripture, as we'll see, that talk about who we are now that we, who we have been made now that we are followers of Christ. That when...
There you go, Mac.
That when you, before you became a Christian, you were in Adam, which means you were associated with Adam, Adam and Eve. You were associated with Adam's sin. You were a regular, ordinary type human being, just like the rest of the world. And actually, that's a lot of what we're going to be talking about tonight. Is who you were in Adam. Now you are in Christ, and once you became a Christian, things changed for you. Really, almost everything changed about you. And we're going to look at that change that has occurred and try to understand that change that has occurred. Tonight we're going to be talking about who you were. That's the title. Ben made the comment that this is a very negative sheet tonight, and I agree. It's very negative. What we're going to be talking about is very negative and kind of a dark subject. But I think it's important for us to discuss this about our past, about who we were before we came to Christ. And I'll tell you why. Some of you guys have heard this analogy before, but it's like if you were a dog, okay? You're a nice little golden retriever, okay? As a golden retriever, what kind of things would fill your day? What kind of things would you do as a golden retriever? Go fetching a ball, yeah. Picking up a bone and burying a bone. Well, sniffing another dog's butt, yes. What'd you say? Going for a walk, yes. Begging for food. Yes. Some dogs are disobedient, yes. What's that? Learning new tricks, how to roll over. You would bark at passing cars. You would... pee on a fire hydrant. I don't know. Whatever dogs do, okay? Now imagine that you as a dog, your fairy godmother came up with her wand and sang bibbidi-bobbidi-boo and touched your nose. Haven't you guys ever seen Cinderella? Come on, help me out here. Okay, touched your nose and you turn from a dog into a person, a human, okay? In every way, you are now a human. You are in no way a dog. You have no more dog parts. You're not all hairy all over. You don't have a tail. There was nothing about you that is a dog. Okay, you are fully human. But imagine that you were transformed into a human, but you went on for the rest of your life acting like a dog. Imagine if a human was walking, you as a human were walking around barking at cars, walking on all fours. That you were sniffing other dogs' butts. That you were doing all of these things that we're talking about. No, hold on, guys. That would be totally inappropriate, right? That would be totally strange. You would probably be locked up. It would be very, very weird. I would tell you if I came to you, I would say, you are a human. Act like a human. You are no longer a golden retriever. Okay? This is what we need to understand about who we were as opposed to who we are. Who we were, the old person we were, is gone. But sometimes we believe we're still that old person. And so we act like it. Because we believe it. But what we need to understand is that we've been changed. Completely changed. And we need to understand the new people we are, which we'll talk about in subsequent weeks. We need to understand the new people we are so we can live as the new people that we've been made. Okay? Let's pray and we'll get into what we're talking about tonight. Lord, just pray as we get into your word tonight that that we are talking about a sad subject in a lot of ways, because it is really a pretty dim picture. Our lives before coming to you were dim. But I think it's important because you've told us of its importance in Scripture that we understand who we were so we can keep the past in the past for us. Pray that you'd help us understand that tonight, and you would help us to apply these truths about what's changed about us, and that our response tonight would be worship to you, would be rejoicing in the fact that this is who we were, not who we are. Pray this all in your name. Amen. Guys, let's open up to Ephesians chapter 4. 801. Tonight, all of the scriptures are going to be up on the screen. But they're a little bit hard to read, purposefully that way. So you'll probably want to open up to the passages that we're going to be looking at, all of them. Okay? There might be a few in the middle that you can just look up here on. But Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 17, says this. It says, "So I tell you this." Okay, let me just stop there, because what Paul is doing here is he's, in the previous chapters in Ephesians, Paul is describing this transformation that's been made in our lives. Okay, this transformation from a golden retriever to a human, not literally, but this transformation that's gone on in us. And Ephesians is, a lot of Ephesians is really about that. That transformation. And so we're going to look at a couple passages in Ephesians tonight and over the next couple weeks. But he gets to this point in Ephesians and he says this. He says, "So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed." I want to start by saying that this scripture is not in here so that we can look at others around us and go, and look down our noses and go, "Oh, come on, really?" It's in here so that we can understand that we are not like everyone else. See, what he says here is that I need to insist upon this in the Lord with you, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. Really interesting thing about that, Gentiles are just mean non-Jewish people. Okay, there were the Jews that were a part of they were from Israel, they were Israelites, they were descendants of Abraham and Jacob. They were a very distinct group of people that had a heritage that was very distinct, okay? If you were not of that heritage, if you did not have those people as your ancestors, then you were a Gentile. So anyone who is not a Jew is a Gentile, okay? The interesting thing, though, is this is written to the Ephesians, which are primarily Gentiles. So he's telling them that you need to no longer live as you Gentiles do. He's talking about them. It would be like saying to us, you need to stop acting like other Americans. You guys understand if someone would say that? Stop being like the rest of Americans. Stop being like them. What he's trying to say is, you live in a culture, in a group that, in general, acts a certain way and lives a certain way, and that way of living is not submitted to God. So, if we said that about Americans, would you guys pretty much agree with that? That in general, Americans do not submit their lives to God. In general, Americans are not living their lives for God. And so you can understand why he's saying this to them. He's saying, don't live like the people around you. The people you know, your friends, the people you work with, maybe even other family members. He says, don't live like that. And don't think like them. He said, in the futility of their thinking. Futility means, the reason why you're not supposed to live like that is because their thinking is futile, which means it has no real purpose. It has no good end. Their thinking leads to emptiness. Their thinking leads to nothing of real, substantial purpose. Their life is futile. And he's saying, your thinking was futile. That's us. Our thinking was futile. Our life was futile. If you really want to get a sense of this, if you really want to depress yourself sometime, read Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes is an Old Testament book that was written by King Solomon, you know, wisest guy ever. The whole book is basically about how hopelessly purposeless life is. That's what the whole book is about. That human life is pretty much without purpose. That's depressing, if you want to read that. And he's saying that the people that you're around are thinking and living lives that really have no purpose. Have no good purpose, anyway. They may think they have a purpose, but it's no good purpose. And you were that way. You lived a life of no purpose. It says they are darkened in their understanding. You were darkened in your understanding. Which basically means they can't see the real picture. They can't understand the truth. They can't see the big picture. The picture that came to my mind was this picture here. What is that a picture of? No, there's a picture up there. You guys can't see what picture that is? There's not a chair. There's not three people. Can anybody see what that picture is? Yeah, what are the shapes? Okay, hold on. Let me shed just a little bit of light on it. Can you see that? You guys can't see what... Okay, how about this? Okay, what about this? Oh, there's a guy's face? It is true that there's a face. Can you see the face?
I don't have my glasses.
Hey, whoa, hold on. You're intentionally not supposed to see this. Okay? You're not supposed to be able to see this. See, as I put more light on that, you can start to see... Yeah, Clark lost his tooth this week, so that was him taking a picture with his tooth. That's a nice face, huh? Okay, the only difference between this picture and the picture five pictures ago is the picture five pictures ago only had 1% light. This has 100% light. It's the only difference. See, you couldn't understand what the picture. You couldn't understand what the picture was of because there was no light. That is the world we lived in. That was the thinking we had. Was thinking that had no light to it. It was impossible to understand the things of God, to understand truth because of our thinking. It says we were separated from the life of God. All the life that God brings, we were separated from it. We could have no relationship with God. We had no relationship, and it was impossible to have a relationship with God. And it says it's because of the ignorance that is in them. It was because of our ignorance. Now, ignorance now, we don't like that word. It's kind of a word we use to, like, be mean to someone, say you're ignorant. You know, nobody likes to be called ignorant. But here it's not a mean word. Basically, it's just saying that they just don't understand. There's no understanding, no ability to understand the things of God. And we might go, you know what, that seems unfair. Maybe it might seem that it was unfair to us when we were in this state. But then he says this. He said, it is due to the hardening of their hearts. Which means God's desire is to rain down truth. But we've put up a tarp. We've made our hearts impenetrable. We had made our hearts impenetrable to him. And we live in a world that had made their hearts impenetrable to him. It's their own doing. It was our own doing. He goes on and talks about some of the repercussions of this. Verse 19, it says, having lost all sensitivity, which I think in this context is sensitivity to God, that they were not sensitive to the things of God. It says they have given themselves over to sensuality, which sensuality means to living by whatever feels right to you. That sound familiar? That's totally how I'd describe the world we live in. Whatever feels right to me is what I'm going to do. If it feels right to be a straight-A student, I'm going to work as hard as I can to be a straight-A student, because that feels right to me. If it feels right to be a slacker, I'm going to work as hard as I can at being a slacker, because that feels right to me. If it feels right to me to be a star basketball player, I'm going to work as hard as I can to be a star basketball player. If it feels right to sleep with my girlfriend, I'm going to do that. If it feels right to cheat on a test, I'm going to do that. Whatever feels right, whatever feels good, is what people pursue, what people live for. And it says that kind of thinking leads to every kind of impurity, to indulging in every kind of impurity. That road leads down to a point where people that are in that group are making up new ways to be impure. Leads to every kind of impurity. We live in a world that there are many in the human race that are doing things that are unthinkable to us. Because it leads to that. And it says, and they are full of greed. He ends it by saying they're full of greed, which just means not greed like money greed. That's not what he's talking about. We usually think of greed like wanting more money. But it just means wanting more and more and more and more and more of this kind of life. They just want more and more and more and more and more and more. And it's never enough, more. I think another very proper description for the world we live in. That was you, guys. And I understand I'm talking to believers tonight, to those of us who have decided to follow Jesus with our lives. If you haven't decided to follow Jesus with your life, you are still in this place. And I'd love to talk to you about getting out of that place. But we're talking to believers tonight, to those who are followers of Christ, and that was you. That was who you were. And some of you guys, maybe you came to Christ, you trusted Christ early enough in your life. You guys are all still early enough in your life that maybe you didn't see that path come to some of the fruition that these verses talk about. But you were on this path leading to this, leading to every kind of impurity, leading to sensuality, just anything to make you feel good, feel right. You were on that path. Awesome thing is verse 20, and we're not gonna read this tonight, but it starts out and it says, that, however, is not blah, 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 blah. However, great word. He's about to say, that's not you. That was you, that's not you. We'll look at that next week. Flip back a page to Ephesians chapter 2, guys. That first point is you were just like everyone else, headed down the same path. Ephesians chapter 2, starting verse 1 says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins." You were dead. Two great words for tonight. You were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature, or our flesh, and following its natures and thoughts, following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. Starts out, he says, you, he's talking to believers, says, you were, past tense, awesome, that we're talking about past tense stuff tonight. You were dead in your transgressions and sins. You were without life. And this is obviously not talking about physical life, because when you weren't a follower of Christ, you were very much alive, and today you are very much alive physically. It's talking about spiritual life. It says you were dead spiritually, because you were in your transgressions and sin. It's like, did anybody ever play in the mud when you were a kid? Yeah, I did too. There's actually pictures of me in the mud in my diaper. When you're in that mud, you are in the mud, right? And the mud is all over you, and you're throwing it everywhere. You are physically in that place of being, of sitting in that muck. Okay, this is saying you were dead in your transgressions and sin. You were in the muck of your transgressions and your sins. And it says the transgressions and sins in which you used to live. When you followed, you were a follower, by the way. Just like everyone else, they're all followers. Even if you say, you know what, I'm not a follower, you were a follower. You were a follower then, and you are a follower now. You are a follower of Christ now. But you were a follower then, and you were a follower of the ways of this world. The way that everyone else operates. Okay, this goes back to the first point. You were just like everybody else. There was nothing unique about you. You were following the ways of this world just like everybody else. And you were following the ruler of the kingdom of the air. It's kind of an interesting statement, because the ruler of the kingdom of the air is just a name for Satan. Okay, interesting. Saying you used to be a follower of Satan. I didn't say it, it said that. We don't usually think of that. We don't usually think of ourselves as being former followers of Satan, because followers of Satan are like people who, you know, have upside down crosses and, you know, worship the devil or whatever. But it said you were a follower. You were a Satan follower. You're a Christian now, so you're a Christ follower. You were a Satanian then. A Satan follower. And it says, his spirit is now at work in those who are disobedient. Just like the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives to bring about righteousness, those who have not decided to follow Jesus with their life, the spirit of Satan is at work in them. It is doing his work in them, is working them over. You used to be worked over by Satan regularly, whether you realize it or not. Most people don't. Satan was at work, at one time at work in your life. Then verse 3, it says, all of us also lived among them at one time. Again, it's a past tense statement that is really good. That was us. We did whatever felt good. We did whatever's right in our own eyes. We gratified the cravings of our sinful nature and followed its desires and its thoughts, which simply meant we did whatever felt good. Again, we talked about that earlier. We did whatever felt right, whatever felt good to us. And he says, like the rest, we were by nature deserving of God's wrath. I hope you guys see that this description of who we were clearly makes us deserving of God's wrath. It really surprises, well, it doesn't surprise me, but it bothers me a little bit when people say, even Christians say, I've had students ask me this, how could a loving God condemn people to hell? Has ever heard that? How could a loving God condemn people to hell? And I usually want to turn that back around. And I say, how could the creation of God, which you and I are, completely reject our Creator? The creation of God that God created to love Him and to serve Him and to honor Him, that is the whole reason why He gave us life and breath. And we go, I want to live my own life. Forget you, God. You wouldn't even exist without God. And we rejected Him. And we were enemies of Him. We were hostile to Him. We were, by our very nature, deserving of wrath. That's what we deserve. That's what you and I deserve. Thank God this is the past tense, right? Because the very next verse says, but because of His great love for us. Awesome. We'll talk about that next week. Okay? Things have changed. It's sweet. We deserve wrath for sure. For sure. You were spiritually lifeless. You were a zombie. Not physically on the outside, but on the inside. John 8:34. If you guys don't want to flip to all these verses, you can look up here, you can read them. John 8:34 says this. Says, Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Okay? We were slaves. Understand that. We were slaves. We did whatever our master told us to do. Romans chapter 6 says, for we know that our old self was crucified with Him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Okay, no longer slaves to sin. This is actually a good news verse, a fantastic news verse, but it actually describes what we were. We were slaves to sin, which meant sin was our master. Whatever you say, sin. What do you want me to do? Okay, yeah, sure. Whatever you say, master. I'm your slave. Use me up. Beat me up. I'm yours to be used. We were slaves. Romans 7:5 says, for when we were controlled by our sinful nature, our flesh, which is describing what we were before, okay, past tense, we were controlled by our flesh, we were slaves to whatever felt right, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in us, so that we bore fruit for death. That is all we did. Before coming to Christ, before Christ changed things for us. Everything we did bore fruit. The result of everything we did was death. Spiritual death. Every word we spoke, every action we took, even if it looked good, it was death dealing. Even if we thought we were doing good, even if we thought we were attaining to something, maybe even pleasing God a little bit by what we were doing, it was death. All of it. Because we were slaves to sin. We had no other master. Before we came to Christ. Yeah. You were a slave to sin. Great words. You were. Past tense. Romans chapter 8 says this. Says the sinful mind, which you had, your mind was completely sinful. Remember, we even covered that in that Ephesians passage. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. Guys, we were hostile to God. Every thought that went through our minds was hostility to God. Were the thoughts of an enemy of God. We did not submit to God's law. Our thinking never submitted to God's law. Nor could we even do so, which is crazy. Even if we wanted to submit to God's law before we came to Christ, the old person we were, we couldn't do it. Even if we wanted with all of our might to in our strength please God, to be God, I want to be a pleaser of you. I want you to be happy with what I do. We were hostile to God. We didn't even have the ability to please God. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. Which makes kind of sense, right? If we truly understood that we were slaves to sin, that we were slaves to whatever our passions and desires and whatever felt good to us, we were a slave to that. No, in no way could me being a slave to this master, could I try to please this master over here. Because all my thoughts were bent on my own passions, my own pleasures, my own desires. We could not please God. I found this funny picture when I looked up the word futile, which was in the passages in Ephesians. But I thought it was very appropriate for this idea of not being able to please God. This is a cat that's really trying to get whatever that yellow liquid is in the bottom of that cup. There is no way that cat is getting to that liquid in the bottom of that cup. It's not going to happen. As much as that cat wants to get that liquid, that cat is not going to get that liquid. Even if we wanted to please God, it was impossible to please God. Except for that. You could not please God. Again, great that that sentence is in the past tense. You could not please God. That is who you were. Romans chapter 1. Starting verse 18. I'm just going to give you guys the point and then read this. If you're not depressed already about who you were, this is really going to depress you, okay? This is a description of who you were, the path that you were on, as a person who had not come to Christ. Okay, a person that God had not changed. This is who you were as a person. This is a description of every human, every ordinary human in Adam. Okay, here it is. Starting in verse 18. It says the wrath of God. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of human beings who suppress the truth by their wickedness, who push the truth down at every turn. Since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, and his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. I hope you guys were here for that video that we watched a few weeks ago. The indescribable video. I don't know how you could walk away from that video and go, and that's just so plain. God's creation is so ridiculously plain. You would be a fool to to say that God does not exist? Be a fool. He goes on. It says, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God, nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile, that word again, and their foolish hearts were darkened, that word again. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal human beings, and birds, and animals, and reptiles, and all the ridiculous things that we worship in our lives. Therefore, God gave them over in their sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed shameful acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their error. Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind, so that they would do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, every kind of wickedness. Evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but they also approve of those who practice them. This was us, guys. This was you and me. This is a description of us. Maybe we hadn't come to some of the shameful acts that are described here, but we were on that path. The path we were on just led down that road. God was holding us back from sin, but he was just going to allow us more and more to pursue the lusts of our hearts. We were on this path. Before you came to Christ, you did anything, anything but live for God. The reason why tonight should not be depressing, other than, I don't know how you can read these things and not think of friends or family that are still in this horrid place. But the reason why it shouldn't be as depressing is that this is all past tense for us. You are no longer the golden retriever. You are the human. You are no longer the person in Adam described here tonight. You are now in Christ. That's who you were. First question down at the bottom, guys. This really gets you thinking about what you believe. It says, is this who you were or who you are? What do you believe about you? If I was to give a description of a golden retriever to that person who had become a human, hopefully they would say that's who I was. I was a barker. I was a hydrant peer. I was a butt sniffer. Whatever. I was that. That's who I was. And hopefully you guys will look at this and go, that's who I was. What has changed for you? Knowing God has changed you from that person, what do you want to say to him tonight? Based on what we know about the fact that this is all past tense, what do we need to say to him? What do you need to say to him? What do you need to do tonight? And what are three lessons that God is teaching you or reminding you of tonight? Give you guys a sec to fill that in. Let me pray for you guys. Let's go to SWAT time. Lord, I just thank you so much for your word. It's hard to study these words, hard to teach these words, because in a lot of ways it just reminds me of the shame of who I was before I trusted my life to you, and how many days and weeks and months and years I lived for myself. Not honoring you, not glorifying you, not serving you, but a slave to my own passions and desires. And God, it is the great news about tonight is that this is all past for us. This is not who we are anymore. Pray that that as we study these passages, as we have studied these passages, and as we go to So What time, that you would help us put the past behind us. You'd help us to recognize those patterns and that thinking that marked us before we came to you, and that we would get rid of those patterns in our life, get rid of that thinking in our life, and believe you when you say that you've changed us, that we are no longer who we used to be. Pray that we would live a new life that resembles nothing of the old life. So we go to our SWAT groups. I pray that you'd help us make this practical, that you'd help real thinking changes to take root in our minds, and that we just have a good discussion on this topic. Pray this all in your name. Amen. Go to SWAT groups, guys.